Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, college basketball fans? The College Ball Show is back. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to break down everything that is college basketball. And obviously, March Madness has fully kicked in, starting, well, technically, I guess, Tuesday, but really Thursday kicked it in. And what do you know? We start out with a bunch of upsets, a couple of tight games, some really, really, really close endings. Providence right at the last second when it didn't look like they were going to move on. They got it done. So there's just a ton to talk about, and obviously this is the best time of year for sports fans, especially if you're into college basketball already, if you're a hardcore college basketball fan. You're loving life right now. Even if it would have been just a pedestrian or mediocre opening day, you'd still be pretty excited. I'm going to go ahead and try to bring in Marshall and see if we can hear him here. Hey, Marshall, what's going on, man?
Hey, just chilling in Denver. It actually snowed like for the last like couple of hours.
Really?
Snow isn't that, yeah. But now it's kind of getting sunny. It's supposed to be like 75 on Monday. So I guess that's kind of the Denver way of life. So there was snow. I'm walking around downtown.
So right at the end there, it kind of fell off a little bit. It was funny because I heard you completely clear until the last little bit. So we're going to still kind of just work through some of this. Obviously, what a day. What an opening day. You know, last year we actually didn't have a 5-12 seed drama. You know, we didn't have a 12 seed upsetting a 5, which is usually kind of a theme. Like I said, if you're a hardcore college fan, I should say college basketball fan, then you know about the 5-12s. But, you know, usually every year I try to pick a 5-12 in there. I actually kind of honed in. You know, every year I do more than one bracket. Usually it's 3. Every once in a while it'll be 4 or something like that. But one of them will be like the ESPN one or the CBS one. You know, one of those that are a real long shot if I do 4 or whatever. This year I did 3, and like I mentioned, last year we didn't have a 5-12. It was more the 14, the 4 and 13, and then I believe we even had a 14 as well in the 3 seed last year. So, but this year it got right back to those 5-12s. We had 2 of them. I was also kind of focused in on the 6-11s. Even though you look at a game like Texas, right? We like Texas. We've been talking about them and how we feel like they could make a little run. But, you know, the Northern Iowa game, that's a tough game, and that falls under that 6-11 umbrella there. So there was just a variety of things to talk about. In fact, Marshall, we had – well, you know, obviously we're going to get into some of these upsets and tight games and all that, but what were you thinking at halftime when your North Carolina squad is tied at the half as a number one seed?
I honestly wasn't too worried just because I did feel they would turn it on. And, you know, it seems like a couple of teams that are 1 and 2 seeds will start off sluggish. In their first games, just because obviously they take teams for granted. I mean, Christ, right now, Middle Tennessee State is up 13 on Michigan State, you know. So maybe there's a chance that Michigan State will be down half two. I guess we'll see. Long ways to go. But I honestly wasn't concerned. If this was to happen maybe tomorrow, I'd shake my head. But I think they maybe just came out a little bit flat because I didn't think they ended up winning by 23, and after they're only up 1 in the first half. So maybe just kind of a wake-up needed, but wasn't too scared. I was more happy about the fact that Duke was down at half. Unfortunately, they were able to find a way to win. But that would have been a very, very nice way to start off the tournament, seeing the anti-team I will never support being down to, God, who were they? It's been quite a few beers. When Duke was down to UNC Wilmington, that would have been a hell of an upset, which didn't happen. But nonetheless, that was a good, entertaining game to kick off yesterday. And as you mentioned, Chris, a lot of upsets did occur. Now, I think one thing that people need to check when they say upsets this year is, okay, so maybe there are games where a seed is considered an upset. But in my opinion, if Vegas has a team favored, it's really not a true upset. Like, you know, I know, like, for this VCU-Oregon State game going on, Oregon State was a better seed, but VCU is favored by 4 points. So I think the term upset this year is a little bit tough to predict, my friend, because you have teams that maybe are 4 or 5 seeds higher and, in theory, worse, yet Vegas says they're going to win. So the term upset being used is kind of a little shaky because – If, in my opinion, if Vegas expected you to win, I don't really call it an upset, even though you were maybe a different seed. You kind of agree with me on that one, my friend?
Well, yes and no. You know, in the 7-12 example you just gave, meanwhile, just so you know, it is it's 49-44 with a little over 11 minutes to go in the second half. VCU is up on Oregon State. And actually Hawaii, a 14th seed or a 13th seed who I would call an underdog against Cal, is up 36-30 at half. Like you said, early lead from Middle Tennessee, 20-10. But you know, in that example that you just gave me, I would say it on that. But the ones that we saw, the upsets that we had, for the most part, I would say were upsets. The Gonzaga, Seton Hall, I wouldn't go out of my way to call that an upset, you know. But then again, Gonzaga needed the tourney to get in, whereas Seton Hall was probably going to get in without winning the whole tourney. But they would have been, you know, so I would say that example maybe a little bit closer, Gonzaga and Seton Hall, that's a good example. But when you look at Yale and you look at some of the other upsets, that's where I would disagree and say that's a full-on upset. So, I mean, anytime you have a 7-10, you're probably not going to be that far away. Obviously, the 8-9s too, but sometimes a 6-11 as well can come up like that. But, yeah, it kind of matters the example. But when a team like Yale beats Baylor, that's a huge upset. And Yale that's their first ever win in the tourney. They had like four other opportunities. And then Arkansas Little Rock over Purdue. To me, that's a full-on upset. I mean, especially the way Purdue closed the game or closed the season. It really looked like they had figured something out guard wise enough. And I know that they had some guard issues down the stretch with fouls, and they didn't have you could really see that definitely affected them bringing the ball up. We saw that in a couple of cases actually. So I'd agree with you on the Gonzaga Seton Hall thing. But other than that, I mean, let's start. I mean, Yale and Baylor, I mean, you know, last year Baylor had an early exit. Actually, Oregon State's kind of making a little bit of run here. They just moved up 51-49 now on VCU. They're making a nice little run in these last little bit. But, you know, I believe Baylor went out early last year, Marshall. We knew they had some problems shooting, but still, all that length, all that talent, with, you know, playing a inside a really tough conference, you think they'd be ready for this type of team, or just in general for this type of matchup, even if it's a tight one that they grinded it out. That's 2 years in a row now, whereas Baylor usually makes a nice little run come tourney time. That was kind of the theme in the last 5-6 years or whatever. you know, if you look at the free throw disparity, 29 times Yale got to the free throw line compared to 15. And overall, it's not like Baylor shot horribly from the field. They didn't shoot good from the three, but they didn't shoot. I mean, 44% is not all that bad, but when your opponent shoots 53% and, like I said, get to the line 29 times, what happened to Baylor, man? It's still a surprise to me, even though we knew they were going to be inconsistent. We knew they could be out in the second round or a Sweet 16 or make a run. What happened to them, man? That was kind of crazy.
Yeah. The one gripe I did hear, now we don't need to obviously break down the bracket issues that some people said, but one thing I did hear all week was why the heck is Baylor traveling so many miles when they're a 5 seed playing in the essentially backyard of their opponent, Yale. So, I mean, maybe there's something to be said for that. I'm not sure that traveling and people like our age or, well, younger than you and I now, I guess we're kind of getting up there, like, is traveling really a big issue to kids to play basketball, like, for one of the biggest days of your life? Like, I don't know. But people were kind of shaking their heads, like, well, Baylor's kind of playing an away game, and they're much better seats. So maybe that had to do a little bit in it. Obviously, I didn't watch the audio of that game, but maybe there was kind of a more of a home field advantage for Yale in a way. But even excluding all that, I mean, or looking past all that, this is a team in Baylor that we saw that at some point this year looks really damn good. I know we'd mentioned that with highs and lows, and it seems like on one show we would do one week, they'd be about how great Baylor is, and the next week we scratched our head, and then week after, it's like, oh, my God, they're hot again. So I'm with you. To lose again to a team that just isn't athletically as talented as them, I honestly don't know, Chris. Maybe there was some mental hangovers or something to the effect of where, like, here we go again on this vacation that we're on, you know, and to maybe the stigma of losing last year hurt him again this year, because, I mean, that definitely was an upset. I mean, Baylor's a team that, you know, they smoked Texas, and they gave Kansas all they could both times they played, and, like, they dealt with West Virginia. So to then slip up against Yale, I guess you are running kind of out of excuses. Maybe the mileage hurt. And, you know, but it's really a bunch of BS. I'd say if you're a Baylor fan, to sum this up, you got to be disappointed. I don't think you're expected to lose this game, and I don't think Yale is maybe a Harvard that we've seen back in the day that was actually a pretty good Ivy League, Chris, where they, you know, run the Princeton offense per se. I didn't hear much about Yale being a great team. So, yeah, it makes you shake your head. And now they unfortunately lose a couple of good seniors. Torian Prince, who was interviewed, I'm not sure if you heard this soundbite he had yesterday, but after the game, obviously you're going to be pretty devastated being a senior, especially for that way to go out as Baylor. And a reporter was like, well, my God, like how did Yale out-rebound you guys? Like, how'd that happen? And it was kind of setting a tone that was maybe a little bit disrespectful from the reporter. So his response was, well, you take your hands and you grab a ball that bounces off the rim and you secure it, and that's called a rebound. And that was the last question he said. So kind of a funny response for a moment where the dude probably wasn't too happy to get a question that could have been phrased a little more politely for that situation.
And, yeah, I mean, they just – I mean, shots out to Yale, though. You know what I mean? That's great
absolutely.
That they got their first freaking win ever. They'd only been there like 3 or 4 times prior. And this game just keeps bouncing back and forth. Now VCU is up 55 with the ball, 6 minutes left to go, 55-52. So they're definitely coming back. Michigan State's kind of grinding their way back in the game. But they're still down early, that's for sure. Like you said, you made a good point, though. You do see those 1 and 2 seeds from time to time. I mean, once in a while you'll see a 1 or 2 seed just come out and put it on somebody. But a lot of times you do see sometimes a flat start or whatever. And actually you could tell, just using that North Carolina game as a reference, the second the second quarter started. I mean, right away it was like, oh, 8 points. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, this game's over. You know what I mean? It was pretty quick. So I expect to see that in some of this. But hopefully we get to see, some other upsets here. Let's talk about another one. Arkansas Little Rock, the Trojans, who I did not know they were called the Trojans prior to the game. I had definitely heard of Arkansas Little Rock, of course, but I didn't know they were the Trojans, so I don't really know much about them heading in to the game. Now, Purdue, it's interesting because Purdue looked like they really kind of straightened themselves out near the end. They started picking up some nice wins. I thought that Wisconsin game, they made some some noise in the Big Ten tourney as well. It kind of seemed like, all right, we're not a team just full of bigs. We actually got some guards. We can actually, we can get something done here. And, maybe they should have fed the bigs a little bit more, Purdue. They shot, they got to the free throw line plenty. They didn't shoot a horrible percentage. I mean, both teams were right around each other. They did all right from the free throw line, I thought, especially if you compare it to Arkansas Little Rock. They both got there 28 times, but Little Rock actually only made 16 of 28. So, and they had a bunch of fouls, obviously, as well, but not so many turnovers. So here's the key here. 18-9 for Little Rock as far as the turnover advantage, which is big. But then also, neither team hit from the three well. But, we know that maybe you shouldn't jack a bunch of threes when you got some bigs to feed. Obviously, they did a good job at protecting the paint to an extent. But when you're 9-28 and you got some big guys down low, I'd say that would probably be my only, obviously the turnovers as well. But I was kind of surprised here because I really had felt confident about Purdue winning this game, Marshall, because of the way they closed the season maybe in the last couple of weeks. And it looked like they kind of turned the corner, a team that we talked a lot about all season in their inconsistencies.
I actually picked Little Rock to win, and I feel that, as you mentioned, we talked about how they have so much potential talent, and can the guards really help them out, or can they feed the big when they know when to? And you're right, I think they did turn a page to finish the Big Ten regular season very well. They almost won the Big Ten Conference Tournament, and to me, Chris, this is just my psyche guess, I feel that losing that kind of sunk them down again, and that just carried over. It's like we've had a lot of good games throughout the season, played pretty well, but when we lose the games against better opponents and we really like flip down a switch to look like, okay, this is a Purdue team like last week in the Big Ten tournament that was like really good. And then they lost to Michigan State. So I feel that maybe that was like a long wave of positivity, and they lose that championship game, and I feel that that kind of took something out of the sails. But also, on the other end, another reason I did pick Arkansas Little Rock is because the whole year I heard everyone say they're the best mid-major team in the country, or at least a lot of people believed that. So when you had the highs and lows Purdue had, and then you factor in the fact that this Little Rock team is legit and everyone says it, even though we didn't see them play, I kind of believed it. So all that combined together, I'm not super surprised they lost just because they've had their moments up and down before. And I guess I believe ESPN from saying that Little Rock has been a very talented team all year. So, obviously an upset. Vegas had Purdue favored. But for my head, I guess I nailed that one right. And that was one part of my bracket where I didn't fall apart over. So that was kind of nice to hit one of those picks.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I hit some of the upsets. I'm never just in one of them. So at times you take a risk. This year on all three of them, usually maybe like four decisions or something, I would, throughout the brackets I would change. Like I would have a different Final Four, or I would have a different winner at a Sweet 16 game that I really was stuck on. That type of stuff.
Yeah.
I'd do a couple of changes, but this year I decided, because of the fact that we had so much kind of in-between play where really there wasn't as far as a gap, I kind of went the opposite way in a couple of different ways on all three of them. So that kind of left me good in two of them, like really good in two of them, and then one of them is going to be kind of a struggle. But I kind of knew that going in because I figured, why not? You know, this year, it's going to be weird. It's not like we have all these strong teams per se. So it's fun. And plus, you just got to pick a 5-12 every year. I really honed in on these 6-11s too. When you look at the 6-11 games, Marshall, Texas, Northern Iowa, Wichita, or Vandy, I suppose, right? Wichita State and Arizona. I mean, these games definitely stand out where you're like, and even the Gonzaga-Seton Hall. In one of them, I picked Seton Hall, but the other two, I picked Gonzaga. I like the way they closed the season overall. So that 6-11 really kind of stood out to me beyond the 5-12s in the 4-13s as well. It's kind of funny how that works. Real quick, North Carolina, we mentioned they had a close first half, but then they took care of business. Kansas did as well. Virginia really housed their team as well. So did Kentucky. Just kind of breezing through some of these blowouts. Indiana over Chattanooga. Utah pretty much controlled Fresno State, I would say. We mentioned Duke, how they had a pretty tight game and then were able to just, you know, get it stretched out long enough to get by. Iowa State, similar thing. They had control. Iona definitely played good in the second half, but they definitely had control of that game. And then we got into the 8-9 games, and there were some really, really interesting games. You know, Providence, it looked like Providence was going to win the game maybe, I don't know, 8-10 minutes left or something. They looked like they were in a little control. And you could say the same thing about Purdue, actually, because I was actually going to go run an errand, and Purdue was up by like 9 and 11 and 7 with maybe even 8-7 minutes to go, and it was like, oh, they were going to get by. And I kind of felt similar. I felt like Providence had a minor control, even though it was much tighter down the stretch. But Providence sneaks in a layup in the very closing seconds of the game to get by USC 70-69. UConn and Colorado battle back and forth. Colorado came out gangbusters. They really did. They were up 30. Let me see here. They're up 36-27 at half, and UConn, different team in the second half completely. 47-31, they came out and put it on Colorado to where it wasn't really a tight game down the stretch. This one was back and forth as well, Texas Tech and Butler, but Butler down the stretch really cleaned out Texas Tech. So Butler, you know, this time of year, Butler, even though this year they didn't really, I don't know, they didn't lick themselves. They just, you know, I don't know. It was kind of I actually picked Texas Tech in 2 out of 3 of my brackets just because I didn't like what I saw out of Butler this year. I didn't really know, but here they are. They're in the round of 32, and we know, like we said, VCU and Butler, those are in other programs, of course, but those are some teams that just stand out where this type of year they get it done. Gonzaga. Gonzaga was a team that wasn't going to make the tourney unless they beat their rival in that West Coast Conference, St. Mary's, which they did. They got in. St. Mary's didn't get in. And they were, you know, they won their actual, the conference during the season, I believe. So Seton Hall and Gonzaga, here's another 6-11 where I was just like, I'm going to have to pick both ways on this throughout my brackets. And, I mean, lucky I only picked one Seton Hall and the other two, but Gonzaga. But this is interesting because it really never was that tight of a game, Marshall. Gonzaga really just handled it. I mean, they were up. Let me check here. I know they were up pretty healthy at half. Yeah, 35-25, and pretty much kept that lead the rest of the way. You know, Gonzaga has bigs. They don't necessarily have two guys in the backcourt that really stand out, which is kind of what they usually have, or at least one that's just a stud. Can this Gonzaga team that still has a ton of talent, and did, by the way, have some injury issues this year, now can they make a run from that 11th spot? Because they played very well, obviously, down the stretch. You know, is a theme that we talk about. Sometimes that backfires, sometimes it doesn't. But they played down the stretch. They needed, you know, to they were in must-win situations down the end, and they got it done. And here's Seton Hall, a team that had beat Villanova and had won the Big East, coming in as hot as ever as well. They kind of just laid down for them a little bit. It really wasn't. I was anticipating this to be a good game, and it really wasn't. Gonzaga pretty much handled them. A little bit of a surprise that they handled them.
I guess the one thing you can say, like, as you mentioned, is that Gonzaga's got pro talent. I believe that the Sabonis is going to be in the NBA draft, and also I know Widger is going to be an NBA draft player. I'm not sure if they're necessarily lottery, but I'm with you. I just think the talent Gonzaga has, where maybe they didn't have as quite as flashy of a year as they normally do. You know, I just thought on paper they're probably a better team. Now, again, the seeding would tell you differently. I guess Seton Hall had a good year. I mean, they did win their conference tournament. But also, I mean, besides, you know, Xavier, Villanova, like, who else does that conference really offer? So, in a way, I mean, I guess you need to reward those teams, but I mean, as we mentioned last
week, you could say the same thing about the West Coast, though, too, you know, because the team that won it didn't get in.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. And I mean, just the whole Tulsa thing, like, that, you know, Tulsa stole this spot from someone a lot of people believe that should have made the tournament. So, yeah, it is just hard to predict those mid majors unless you maybe are a fan, or, you know, maybe you're a St. Mary's fan and you watch every game. Well, you could probably break down, you know, how they fared against Gonzaga and BYU this year better than you and I can. So, yeah, but it is hard to judge the seeds. And these seeds have just been kind of fishy this year. But I guess with the crazy year we've had, I guess this season you could expect to be a little off the wall as well. I wasn't able to see that game as closely as I was for others. I believe I was walking to a different bar at that point. But I guess, just to be honest, I can't say I'm surprised that Gonzaga won. The talent they have on the court is pretty good. They have some bigs. They don't seem to turn the ball over ever. Like you said, they've been rolling from beating St. Mary's, who St. Mary's and those they battled head to head in the conference, and they had battled head to head in the conference tournament too. So I guess maybe a nice confidence booster. I'm friggin' Zaga to come into the tournament hot. I guess you could say the same for Seton Hall, but. Yeah, I picked that one in my bracket just because I guess Seton Hall was like, you know, when's the last time they won a tournament game or something? You know, let's prove something to me over Gonzaga. And just kind of...
Yeah, it wasn't that surprise. I'm surprised they just handled them, because Gonzaga really hasn't been that good this year. So I picked two out of three upsets, so I don't really consider it an upset per se. I'm just saying it wasn't a game. It was kind of like, wow, geez, you guys really just shut them out. And I guess what I was trying to say is maybe we should really zone in on this, because if they play defense like that, they're going to be dangerous and got as good a chance as any to get the Sweet 16. Just because
true.
Of the way they play,
very
and like
true.
You said, the talent, you know? Go ahead, though. Yeah, you were going to say something else.
Well, and so as we touched on that game, you know, looking around for how we feel about conferences throughout the year, I remember all the people saying the Pac-12, you know, look at them. Well, if we could fast forward and do a show in about 2 hours, if Cal loses to Hawaii and Oregon State loses to VCU, I mean, you know, Arizona already got bounced out. For all the hype I got, you know, when people were on ESPN were saying, oh, the Pac-12 deserves all these bubble teams to get in. Well, a couple of these teams better win. Again, not, you know, obviously every team's on their own. It depends on matchups. But, I mean, from the way this is going, Colorado lost yesterday. You know, Oregon State and, like, if all these Pac-12 teams get knocked out on this first 2 days, you're really going to wonder, like, God, I mean, besides Oregon, who I'm guessing should win as a one seed, like, maybe where was this all this proof that people kept saying of, well, if you look at the numbers, the Pac-12 is legit. Well, they sure as hell haven't come to play yet for these Pac-12 teams. And if, like you said, in the following hour, two more could be gone. I just kind of made me shake my head. It appeared to me, Chris, that the Pac-12 got better seeding than a lot of Big Ten teams and maybe some ACC teams. So the performances that were expected of the Pac-12, we've not really seen yet in this tournament so far, man.
Yeah, I was gonna kind of go into some of that as well. Obviously, the Pac-12 got some love. That what they get? Did they get seven in?
I think they did. Yeah, I think they did get seven in.
And the RPI or the BPI and all that type of stuff, you know, the non-conference stuff that they talked about. We talked about this fact a couple of times. We just kind of we would just revisit it, you know, from week to – not every week, but we would revisit it from time to time during the season. And meanwhile, kind of what you're saying, they're up 10 points with a minute 36 less. So VCU, it looks like, will take care of business. And Hawaii is up on Cal 45-37 really early in the second. Now it looks like only down by six. Michigan State, so they are kind of coming back. Iowa's looking really good in the opening thing. That could be a team right there, Iowa, that that wonder if they turn on the gas, even though they ended so dreadfully. But we talked about
their
that.
Their tank was empty.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, especially not to win a game in the Big Ten tournament. It's like, really, guys? Jeez, that's how you're going to go out? You're not even going to show any fights? So maybe they will show plenty of fight here. You never know. But it is kind of interesting because
and,
then you have the Big Ten champion. Go ahead. What's that?
Say, and USC lost yesterday, too. So another Pac-12 team that's barely gone back home.
Right. And obviously in some of these, we just mentioned how Oregon State and VCU are 7-10. You really don't know much about that. But you start to look and you go, well, you know, the Indiana, you know, we know about their non-conference, how it's not really great, but they did close really well in the third, probably the third best conference in the nation behind the ACC in the Big 12, of course, but they were seated at five. So, you know, it's kind of interesting how, you know, every year it kind of works out a little bit different, but yeah, they're really going to think about it. But, you know, I don't know. Sometimes it can be matchup. Sometimes it can be just like, how'd you get seven teams in? This year it does kind of feel like, how did you get seven teams in? And because, you know, we could do the same thing last year. We felt like the Big 12 was pretty damn good last year, and they only had two after the first weekend. Now, some of that was there's eight and nine games and seven and 10 games and all that, or playing game. Maybe someone snuck in that way. But, yeah, I mean, that it is funny how we kept hearing that message, and then when they actually play the games, they haven't bode well. And speaking of, what do you know? The Shockers had a play-in game that they just looked, I mean, not the whole game, but a good chunk of the game, man. They the second half, once they got everything together, they freaking closed that game out. And really, the same could be said, except right off the bat, Wichita State in Arizona last night. Wichita State up 31-19. Arizona, you know, they pretty much played them even in the second half, but it was just too late by that time. And here we go again, man. Wichita State making a run. Of course, they still have Baker. Of course, they have Van Vliet. Is this team just going to keep – I mean, they have – a lot of the talent back as far as the important stuff. And it's not like, you know, in their replacement are a bunch of bums or something like that. You know what I mean? Even with, obviously if you have some big men that have played minutes and let's say one moves on, well, that just means that you have some sort of depth and maybe they've gotten some sort of playing time. And also even if you're a player that came off the bench the last couple of years and now this is your year to start, that type of stuff goes a long way experience wise. And we here we are, Marshall, Wichita State. You know, I actually have them. I was really confident about this just because of the experience we know about the damn guards, you know, the backcourt in the, when it comes to March Madness, and they obviously not only had the guards but have the experience. But also Arizona, clearly not the team that they were the last probably 3 to 5 years, really, if you go back, because they've put out some really good talent and have some nice runs, Elite Eight runs and whatnot. Here they are, man, and they're in. They were in a good spot when I looked at them, and I still think they got a good chance to go to the Sweet 16. I picked them to win a play-in game, or actually not win a play-in game, because technically we don't pick that play-in game in the brackets that I went to, because you still have till Wednesday night or tip on Thursday. But I have them beating Arizona in 2 out of my 3, and I have them in the Sweet 16. In, I believe, 2 of them, one of them. Yeah, 1 of them, and then 1 I think I have them going, I don't remember if it's the Elite Eight or not. I got to see my bracket again. But I definitely viewed in on this game, and I felt pretty comfortable picking, here we go once again, this 6-11. We talked about the 5-12s last night, but the 6-11s are just as fruitful for upsets, and this is a game I don't really look at like a major upset, Marshall, kind of like what you're saying on some of these 6-11s or 5-12s. To me, this isn't a major upset, and Wichita State could definitely beat Miami, man. What are your thoughts on Wichita State? Once again, they're in line to do some damage. They've already won 2 games and have a good chance to win a 3rd, possibly. I didn't realize that you had hung up and called back. Let me unmute you. My bad. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, I got dropped twice, but hopefully we'll be good for the rest of the show. I think with Baker and Van Fleet, you have 2 talented guards. They've had their decent runs. I guess you could say they've done more, but I remember 2 years ago, they battled their butts off against Kentucky and lost a nail biter, a not shabby Kentucky team 2 years ago. So, I just think the experience, the head coach, I mean, this is a team at home. And they have a lot of confidence. Like we just discussed about Purdue, who's had highs and lows this year. Or fight. This is a team that's experienced all these issues, per se. Their major conference is pretty they have. You nailed that very well. I think bracket, I think I actually, I'm sure I did 1 bracket. And it's not, yeah, this is a big, and I would say that I bet if you were to look at Vegas odds, 50-50 for betting on who was to win that game last night versus Arizona. A team that, coming down the stretch, they lost a couple of games that I don't believe, you know, that Arizona fans probably thought they should have. I know that Miller was, you know, kind of yapping about people rushing the court, and it happened quite a bit. So that basically goes to show that their last 3 to 4 road games of the year, Arizona didn't win. You know, so in the rushing the court debate, that's also sure your team lost on the road to a team that, you know, was an underdog to you. So. Yeah, I'm with you. The Wichita State was nice. They kind of like the same thing with Gonzaga. I mean, if they were to face off against each other, I'm not sure who I'd pick. But those are 2 teams where it's like, oh, dude, it's March, and Gonzaga and Wichita are playing teams that are beatable. I'm going to pencil them in, you know. And I don't think it's easy to say that. And as we've been doing the whole show, Michigan State down 1.5. I don't think many people picked this. Now, clearly, still 20 minutes to go. Carolina did kind of back in the second half, so it would be probably a 95% chance Michigan. Tennessee State has just been hitting a lot of threes and is down at half. Now, obviously, I'm with you. I think that Michigan State will bounce back to win, Chris. Start the games today, and I really like the this afternoon. closer games together, because I know, like, at 7 o'clock tonight, Mountain Time, the one seeds play at the same, or the one seed and a two seed playing like 50. So maybe this afternoon games is maybe the best time of close games we'll get to see today. Crazy upset.
Yeah, it does kind of seem that way so far, no doubt about it. And like you said, Cal actually recently just made a nice little push, so they are within range now for a second there. They were getting beat the second, you know, obviously at half, down 36-30, but they were down like 9 there for a second. So 47-45 now. It was kind of breaking up when you read some of the scores. So 41-35, like you mentioned, Middle Tennessee and Michigan State. And Iowa came out pretty damn good, and now they're still doing pretty good. They're up 32-25 on Temple. Temple's kind of a tough team to get a hold of, to actually read on that one, and obviously so is Iowa. You know, that was one where I looked and I said, man, there's no way. They're going to get out of the first round. I'm just looking at that like, but I don't know, man. I really don't know. VCU, though, 75-67, another Pac-12 team in the glove this time, junior Gary Payton II, which is kind of cool that Gary Payton II, who actually could have went other places, but he ended up going back to where his pops went, and that's kind of cool, especially when it's Oregon State. It's not like it's some, you know, established program per se. So
yeah,
that's kind of cool that he went that way with it. Of course, Nova handled UNC Asheville. Syracuse, I thought this was going to be a really good game, Marshall, over in Dayton, Syracuse and Dayton. You know, Dayton really, man, they closed horribly, and obviously they were basically a no-show. I shouldn't say that, though, because it was 30-28 at half. So even at half, I was correct in thinking that it would be a tight game. But Dayton, tale of two seasons, really. They kind of crashed and burned. They ended up losing the second half 40-23, man. Wow, that's a pretty big surprise. And like you said, South Dakota State and Maryland, that's another 5-12 to keep an eye on. Pittsburgh, Wisconsin, we'll see which team shows up for Pitt, the one that snuck in, or the one that, you know, was kind of throughout the year. Like you said, West Virginia looks like they should be in a game they should win. Green Bay could sneak up on A&M just because A&M closed strongly. Man, they had definitely their ups and downs. Oregon, Holy Cross, that's not likely. Weber State, Xavier, who knows? You never know. Here's an interesting game. Michigan and Notre Dame at a 6-11 seed. That's really not that. I mean, let me actually look. Yeah, Notre Dame only has a 3-point favor on the spread here. And then what's your gut telling you? And I mean, it's really hard to pick against Texas because we've been up on them so long this year. The coaching, we talked about VCU and Wichita State and all that. And it's that time of year. Well, technically, it's going to be that time of year for Texas now from here on out because they got a good coach. Obviously, things can happen. This is a tight game, though, Marshall. What do you think? I've seen Northern Iowa play just a couple of times. Obviously, they had a pretty good win in non-conference. This one could get tricky, Northern Iowa and Texas tonight.
I'm torn, man. I think this is a 50-50 one. I would probably stay away from gambling on it. I mean, obviously, North got
Northern Iowa.
North. They started the year off really good, beat Carolina, but and they also had a couple of other non-conference wins. And then in conference play, I want to almost say they lost like 5 out of 6 or like 7 out of 9, and were garbage. And then come the second half of the year, they kind of got their troops back on the same page. I, sure if injuries affected them. I didn't really see their games. But they kind of hit a big lull, were even mentioned on the bubble at all, and then they got hot and then won the conference tournament against Evansville on a it was a game-winning shot where the ball hit the rim, bounced up like 4 feet there and came down for the win. Pretty much rode the momentum they've had compared to Texas, who, I mean, obviously had a big season. I believe they exceeded expectations. They didn't win the Big 12 tournament, but, I mean, they weren't off on it. I think team this whole year, hot and cold. I guess I'm probably just cheering for Texas just because I kind of enjoyed watching that and kind of like from the games I did watch Northern Iowa play early in the year, I believe they're kind of run. Can I do Texas because Texas in a half court team is actually always clicking. There's games where Texas play where they can't hit a three to save their life. Offense. So maybe if Northern Iowa is a running team, I think that actually would make it more difficult for them to win because Texas has the athletes in Kaler and Roach. And eBay is going to be a shot blocker. So maybe the tempo of the game is kind of a big deal. I think it's a pretty damn good choice of a Texas win if they're able to kind of play an up and down, fast paced game.
I think that you're done. It kind of broke up at the end there, so I just wanted to make sure. It's still doing pretty good, but it is breaking up from time to time.
Okay.
But it's okay. It was just at the end there, so I wasn't 100% if I should jump in or not and cut you off, or if it's empty. But I think we're getting the gist of it, and now we can, you know, really look at Saturday as well. Obviously. The Sunday matches are definitely, getting made as we speak. But let's take a look at Saturday here, Marshall, and see what we got. First game, Wichita State and Miami. Wichita State is actually, as far as I'm looking right here, they're actually the favorite, the 2-point favorite over Miami. That's kind of interesting. Yale, the biggest upset so far as not just because it's a 12-5, but I think it's the biggest upset because it's Yale, and that's their first ever. So you're like, wow, that's pretty crazy with your first ever tournament win. We'll see if they can do something to Duke. Right now, Duke is a 6-point favorite. Iowa State and Arkansas Little Rock. That's kind of an interesting style matchup there. Butler and Virginia should be a pretty tight game because Butler definitely is not going to be intimidated. They have some confidence in that program, I believe. Connecticut and Kansas. Connecticut, man, if they played the way they did in that second half, you never know. They could sneak up and do something. Gonzaga and Utah, complete West Coast matchup there. In North Carolina, in Providence, I believe they played earlier this year, but we'll get into that a little later. What's your gut saying here in these first two matchups? I mean, can Yale do it again and beat Duke? I know you're hoping, but Miami and Wichita State, man, that's an interesting one, along with Indiana-Kentucky, which we'll get into in a couple of minutes here. Well, the first two games there, Yale-Duke, Wichita State, Miami. Are you at all surprised that Wichita State is a 2-point favorite over Miami, who definitely did well in the second toughest conference in the country?
I think maybe it's just the cold finish they had for Miami. I mean, they didn't make the final CC tournament, which is nothing to be ashamed of. Carolina and Virginia had great years. Had that weird loss to Virginia Tech, which no one could really quite scratch. Just been trending a little downward lately, who maybe kind of gets, you know, this time of the year kind of treatment. So I'm not sure, but on paper that that does catch me off guard a little bit. They are favored by two. I think, like I said, I don't think Miami lost the home game all year in the ACC. They're nothing to be, joked about. And also their coach, Larry Nega, is one of the better coaches that not a lot of people probably know about. I mean, we know it, but he's not probably one of those guys that should be mentioned up there in the ranks of maybe not one of the best coaches ever, but the dude pretty much always does his job. So I would probably think more of a pick'em, but maybe if people are getting Wichita State. For the sake of Yale Duke, I didn't see the Yale game against Baylor. Obviously, Duke, I'm guessing I wanted to play Yale. That's a more favorable matchup because I thought the athleticism that Baylor would have been super hard for Duke to defend. So, unfortunately, I think Duke maybe gets an easier draw. But I guess I just don't know what to say, Chris. I mean, if Yale can hit their shots, I guess they have a chance. It's just, this Duke team is like 50th. I mean, there's no change in that. So maybe they'll get a little fatigued. I'm just so taken back by the Yale game that I guess I really don't know what to say. I'll be cheering for Yale to win, but it's like, did they just catch Baylor on a Baylor having a moment like they do? Or is this Yale team, like, legit good? So I'm pulling for it, and I think that I actually – Wichita State will win too. Baker and Van Sleet, the Wichita State guards, have been through so much. I can get a little lady luck on their side and make the deepest run. They've been pretty damn good for quite a while. I think it'd be kind of cool for Baker and Van Sleet to make a Sweet 16. And I'll cheer for Yale, but I wouldn't touch it. Just who knows, I guess.
And it basically is a pick'em game that Miami, in a sense, even though you may not think, well, Wichita State's up by two, but that's pretty close to a pick'em game anyway, I suppose.
True.
But it will be a battle of the guards. Obviously, Miami does have, a guy that can block some shots and clog the middle. They'll definitely need some of that and maybe even some points down low as well, because we know the strengths for both teams as far as scoring and whatnot are on the outside. But a lot of times when you have some guards like this, maybe you get a little bit more contribution out of a big than you thought on both sides of the ball as well. It's not like one of the bigs has to go for, 26 and 16 or something like that. Just to get enough out of there, because I'm really excited. I have to close the night before, so I'm going to have it on DVR. I'll probably get up at like noon, but I can't wait to be able to have that on DVR and go right through it and not have to watch it live and wait and all that for the timeouts and all that. So I'm definitely pretty excited there. And then really, I mean, there's some interesting games. Iowa State, you don't know what the hell you're going to get out of them sometimes. That could be an interesting game with Arkansas. Little Rock, maybe they, keep it going as far as that energy. To me, and this is a picking game right here because it's even right now. It's listed here on ESPN.com. And actually, you know well about this game because that is actually in Denver, Colorado, now that I see it, the Pepsi Center. Gonzaga and Utah. So those really stand out to me. Gonzaga and Utah and Indiana and Kentucky. Let's talk about those two games because literally these could go either way. These are good matchups for the round of 32, no doubt about that.
I just continue to be amazed with Utah's continuing wins, Chris, just because all you ever hear about is total. Being one of the best centers in basketball. So, and I know he's kind of the bread and butter. Like, they feed him down low, and that's kind of how they run their offense. So I guess it's basically kind of be Poto against, Sabonis and Whittinger for Gonzaga. I guess I'm just kind of stuck on Utah because, like I said, every time I do happen to turn the game on, he's in the post. So maybe if you could focus on him in foul trouble, or maybe double teaming him more often other teams do and forcing other people on the outside to shoot for Utah instead. They've made it this far and they've had a very good record. I just wonder why teams maybe can't solve a way to slow him down. or maybe he is just that darn good. I'm going to pick Gonzaga just because I think, you know, they're probably riding high. They won their conference tournament. You know, they just pulled off, I guess, what you could call an upset technically by the numbers. So I like their confidence. I think maybe Sabonis will be able to try to slow down Poeltl too, because I know Sabonis is a center. I believe Poeltl's probably taller, but maybe if they can come up with any type of game plan to force other people to beat you, I believe that'll be enough. And for Indiana, for once, Chris, maybe the credit they get just for the name on the jerseys. And Murray's pretty good, but Kentucky, A&M, and a lot of holes with Kentucky. I get that on paper it's a really cool matchup because of two great prominent teams. Just, and maybe we're spoiled, but this Kentucky team, they can't rebound. I feel like their offensive possessions are basically stayed by a late third or by Ulis doing something, you know, that's just super athletic. So I really don't have much faith in Kentucky just because they just haven't looked good. Indiana, and I mean, obviously they've kind of, I'm not sure, because I think a lot of people are very excited for this game, but I don't think you're going to get the talented Kentucky to pick Indiana.
Can you kind of repeat the last maybe 10 seconds or something like that? You had just bounced over to Indiana because it broke up like to where it went away.
Oh, sure.
Sorry.
Basically, I just was going to win just because, I mean, they obviously won. That's a good accomplishment for them this year. They have Yogi Ferrell who the ball at times to try to win the game. But, yeah, I'm really just drawn away from the way Kentucky plays, Chris, and that's why I'm picking the Indiana. So I guess I'm not offering much of strategic thoughts on what it is. I've really not been impressed when I've watched Kentucky play this year. I think it's going to come back to bite them tomorrow night, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is this could go either way, 100%. And I kind of favor Kentucky because they got an extra guard. That's really the only thing, because both are kind of young and dumb on the inside. There's times where you see something, you go, oh, that's pretty nice, and then it just kind of falls apart as far as production down there. So I think, you know, it's basically somewhere in a draw as far as what they mean to their teams at point guard, but I don't think they have a Jamal Murray. In Indiana, I think that's the problem there. But honestly, it's a pick 'em tight game, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think it'll be a tight game. And we kind of knew all year, although it did look like Kentucky turned the page midway through the season, then they stumbled. Kind of like it's just a matter of when you had your stumbles. It's like a broken record when we explain teams this year. It's pretty funny how that works. But I'm going to lean Kentucky, but I'm really eyeing in on that game, not because of what I think of these teams and what they can do this year, but just because I think it's a really, really tight game. Does anything at Providence, I mean, Chris Dunn to go along with, which is who I hope the Timberwolves can get him, but Chris Dunn to go along with the big down low, is there anything that kind of worries you? Because on the surface, this looks like a game you guys should win, North Carolina. And didn't you guys play them earlier? Am I just making up? I'll check.
I don't have my internet on me today or my laptop open right now, so I guess I'm not sure. Maybe one of those early season tournaments we could have. I'm just not 100% sure, but doing pretty good. The way Carolina played defense against Virginia in the ACC tournament, if a team like that, if we play with that kind of heart, I truly think we'll cut down the net. So I'm not too scared about a game like this. I just think if you bring the energy they had and the way they kind of locked themselves in on defense against Notre Dame and Virginia, I think that will carry over. Now, obviously, yesterday was kind of a hiccup, maybe a little bit of arrogance or cockiness, and you can't. And they won and they came out flat. You know, that is what it is. But I think they'll be back to being locked in on defense. So I do like my chances against Providence, Chris. I'm not too scared. I obviously I'm not going to say it's a guaranteed win, but I believe with the seniors and the way that we've kind of changed our defensive effort lately, I'd be very surprised and very disappointed if tomorrow my boys happen to lose.
Oops, sorry, I had a little issue there. I had my mute on. It's funny because the Miami coach, we just talked about him a couple times, and we have, you know, throughout the year. But this comment that he made about Wichita State really hits home because, you know, obviously the Minnesota Timberwolves are a very young team. He said, and this is him speaking about Wichita State, he said, I think there are some NBA teams that are younger than Wichita State. So that really kind of puts it in perspective. And it's true. I mean, I could sit there and be like, yeah, I mean, if you look at our core, you know, as the Timberwolves, if you look at our core, you know, our core players, they clearly have older players than us. I mean, a lot of our core players just turned 21 in the last couple of months altogether. So it's kind of funny how that works. So right now, just to kind of update where we are before we get out of here, like you said, it's tough because I remember talking about it yesterday, and we're saying, and I kind of gave you an option of which do you want to do Thursday or do you want to do Friday? What works best for you? You were obviously, you know, landing when it was a good time to do the show. My point is, it's just funny because we thought that there was a good time to do the show. And we can say, well, tonight kind of looks like a more mild night. You know what I mean? So who really knows? You know, you just never know. So it's just kind of funny how we kind of downplay what's going on tonight when you don't know. You know, maybe it'll be a big upset night tonight, and today is not as crazy. So we'll see. But just to kind of update you where we're at right now, 66-60, Hawaii is still clinging to that lead over Cal. This would be a 13-4 seed upset here. 3:46 left. And actually, Middle Tennessee just hit a three. Otherwise, it was a two-point game. Now it was a three-point game. So they actually, it looked like right away Michigan State went on an 8-2 run, but now Middle Tennessee has come back, so they still have the lead there. So that could be fun. We could get a 15-2 right there. We've definitely seen that in the past. Temple kind of came back into the game. They're only down by one, 38-37 to Iowa. And that's about it as far as live stuff going on right here. Is there any things that you want to mention before we get out of here, man?
I think we got a good one. I'll just be curious to do our show next week because we do have a lot of nice looking matchups. Maybe Kentucky and Indiana are kind of having a down year for their standards. That's a hell of a game to watch on a Saturday. And same with, you know, Wichita State, as you mentioned, against Miami. Like, I think that maybe with all the parity we've had, you know, for all the teams that by their first game, I think maybe that this, like, first opening Saturday, Sunday should be a little more enjoyable than we're used to. Because I think maybe on some years, Chris, I got, you know, half of my Sweet 16 bracket is chalk. I don't think you can do that this year. I mean, probably half the people's brackets in this country, you know, you're already losing four of your Sweet 16, suck for your bracket. But I think we'll maybe have a more competitive second week or competitive Saturday and Sunday of the first year more than we're used to. And maybe besides, you know, having faith in my Carolina boys and Kansas and Virginia, I think we'll be a little more entertained. So maybe with the parity that we figure out this whole season, that will put us with more entertainment on this Saturday and Sunday. But
Well, it definitely rewarded us yesterday, and right now we got a 13 seed that's actually up by 10 again with 3 minutes left, so we got another upset brewing, and technically Middle Tennessee is still brewing. I know there's over 15 minutes left, but that's still brewing as we speak, so, you know, enjoy the rest of your...
That'd be insane.
Yeah, right? That'd be sweet. We've seen two seeds go before. We definitely have. Just usually they're not as strong as Michigan State, but hey, it happens. There's no doubt about that. This would be great. This would be fun, although it would blow up one of my brackets. Not completely, but I had Michigan State winning one of my brackets. By the way, beyond North Carolina, who do you got winning in your brackets? Oh, you only did one this year, huh?
I wasn't able to.
I suppose it was right around the time when you're traveling and shit, too.
Yeah, I did do a bracket for a friend, though, so she could enter in her husband's tournament. So I get three through her. Bracket is out of chalk. I think my game. Three ones and a two, which is, you know, not too aggressive. I guess we'll see how it goes so far.
Can you repeat? I'm sorry, dude. Can you repeat that? Because right when you were about to say what you did, it went out.
Oh, yeah. I did do one bracket this year for a friend.
Yep.
That her husband's work pool. But I basically... Sure. I did... Kansas for a national title game. It'd be kind of crazy if you did get a ball to make the final of the crazy number one fostering the
I guess it's just not meant to be, Marshall. I don't mean to cut you off if you're talking, but you're falling all the way off right now, so I don't even hear you now right now. And you actually just dropped. That's okay, though. We are actually coming to the end right there. So anyway, thanks for listening. Definitely appreciate it. As always, we'll be back hopefully next Tuesday. We'll break down what happened the rest of today and tonight. We'll break down from the weekend. And, of course, we'll look forward to the Sweet 16. It's been a great start to the tournament. Enjoy the rest of it. Peace. We'll be back next week.